Hey, dear listener, do you enjoy listening to us ramble incoherently about Canadian politics and history? Boy, do we have a special fucking treat for you. We've got our first ever official live show at a bar.
It's at Two Crows Brewing on Brunswick Street in Halifax on Sunday, May the 26th at 8 p.m. And if you go to CanadianPoliticsIsBoring.com, if you look at the banner at the top, it will take you to the tickets so that you can book a ticket and come and spend some quality time. It is going to be a very intimate affair. There are like only about 50 tickets available.
It's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to drink a lot. We're going to quiz. Reese is going to quiz me at the end, but he's also going to quiz the audience and see if they know more than I do. And any alcohol you buy, Reese and I, we promise to drink it, no matter how much it is. If you want to hold our hair while we barf in the plants outside of the bar, we'll do that for you.
So go to CanadianPoliticsIsBoring.com, click the banner at the top, and on Sunday, May the 26th at Two Crows Brewing on Brunswick Street, we will see you there.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Let me just...
Hi. Keep that in the trailer.
Hi, Halifax. It's me, Reese, from Canadian Politics is Boring, with Jesse from Canadian Politics is Boring.
Hello.
We've got a live show. We should have run a script.
Reese loves improvising.
We've got a live show.
Do you hear it in person. This totally sounds scripted, doesn't it?
Yeah.
No, we're finally doing a live show in person, in the flesh. If you are in Halifax, Nova Scotia, this Thursday, August the
19th.
August the 19th at around 6 p.m.-ish, we will be in Grand Parade in downtown Halifax, performing on stage the Halifax Trivia.
Ultimate Halifax Trivia.
Ultimate Halifax Quiz.
This is a really good trailer.
I messed this up so much.
It's fine.
So Reese is going to come up with questions about Halifax, and me and other participants, other comedians are going to be tested and for a undisclosed prize that he's going to present to the winner.
It's free.
And after our little Ultimate Halifax quiz, there will be other comedians performing. There will be other sources of entertainment.
We'll hang out.
By the time it ends,
it'll be close to my bedtime.
Yeah, probably, right? But it's free. This Thursday, the 19th, Grand Parade, 6 p.m. Come down, say hi, have a good time.
And if you don't live in Halifax or Nova Scotia, you live in a different province, I'm very sorry.
Thanks for listening to our ad for other people having a good time that you can't join in on.
Just because you were born in the wrong province, we can't help that. So
yeah, that's kind of sad.
On with the show!
The election has been called!
Things are about to kick off. Erin O'Toole.
To the journalists in the room.
Justin Trudeau.
This pandemic.
After months of speculation.
Federal election.
Now is not the time for an election.
Buckle up and get ready to ride the pandemic election roller coaster.
I have an election erection.
I just wanted to play along. I just said it. And then as soon as I was saying it, I'm like...
It was a pretty pre-royal joke on my part. I do apologize. I basically said the word erection because it sounds a bit like election. It wasn't clever comedy, I'll admit.
Are you as excited as I am not?
Dude, my last time there was an election...
I couldn't give a shit, honest to God.
Last time there was an election, I wasn't really paying any attention to Canadian politics.
Yeah, just like me.
Because I'd been here barely a year and I was still going, oh, Brexit! Oh, Brexit! So, but now I'm more informed and I can watch it haven't been informed by over 100 episodes of making a podcast about Canadian politics.
I and you can too. Informed, but I still don't care, so, honest to God.
But we've got a big plan for the election. We are going to cover it and talk about it. But the big question...
Tell us about this plan.
You don't know about this.
I don't.
But I've got a plan.
I know you've got a plan, but like I don't know what the plan is.
And who will Jesse vote for? That's what it's called.
Oh.
And if
you have to make this public by the end of this...
You don't have to tell us at the end, but what I want to do is every episode we're going to talk...
I mean, it'd be really disappointing if I didn't, I guess.
I'm just going to pressure
Jesse into who's he going to vote for? And then by the end, I'm not telling you goodbye. And that's
that'd be quite funny.
That would be funny.
So the idea is that every episode I'll talk to you about the leaders and the policies and the topics. And as things go,
are we doing a series of days?
No, it's going to be every day. It's going to be still weekly, or maybe we'll do bonus episodes if something crazy happens. Maybe we'll just record it into a phone on the go and release it.
Basically, no structured format moving forward with this, but we will cover it as necessary.
Yeah, a jumbled mess.
Okay, a jumbled mess for the election.
A relevant jumbled mess for the election is
what you can expect from us, I guess.
Also, I want all listeners who are undecided, or if you're thinking
about
of changing
whether
your mind,
they want to listen to our show.
No, whether or not they want to vote or whether who they're going to vote for, reach out to us because we'd like to get an idea of
Swing votes.
Yeah, yeah. So let us know if you're undecided or you're kind of thinking you're going one way or not the other, or you're thinking of changing who you vote for.
I will convince you personally to not vote at all.
And at the end, we can then talk about like who changed their mind and why, and just let us know. We just want this to be an interactive thing.
Oh God, it sounds so boring. Okay, sure. Yeah,
it won't be boring. The last thing it will be is boring.
He's giving me a look as if you, our audience member, can see it. He's like his eyebrows going up. He's
disapproving.
Like, he's kind of like, shut up, Trevor.
I hope you feel ashamed of yourself.
Every morning.
That's what the look said.
Just wake up with shame.
So I bet you're asking me, how does an election play out?
Pool of sweat and shame. No, I don't care.
Well, I'll tell you, Jesse.
Fucking hell.
So
I feel like we're gone back to the beginning of when we started this podcast. It's just a big fucking... The whole thing is a wrestling match. It really is, man.
Well, do you want me to explain to you how an election works in Canada?
Because
I'm going to tell you.
You're going to tell me anyway. Fuck it.
So the Governor General... Governor General, GG.
I've heard the term. I don't know what it means. I don't care.
They have the power to dissolve Parliament.
Oh, please, can they?
Like toilet paper.
Just
like toilet paper hit in a stream of hot piss. They can dissolve Parliament.
Honestly,
my battery died. Hang on.
I'm here to entertain you, folks. This is new. Usually I'm the one who goes to get coffee or whatever, and Reese entertains you by himself. His laptop battery died, and he's run off. What can we talk about? Let me think. I had a delicious chicken burger today. It was one of the best things I've eaten in a long time. Oh my God, there were pickles in it and some blue cheese. No bun either. I used lettuce. There was a weird lettuce trio thing. God, I'm so sorry for anyone's listening to this. Hurry up, Reese. I'm talking about chicken burgers.
I'm back.
Reese is back with the...
Just turn off his back on.
There we go. I wish I had had some better content than the lunch I'd eaten today.
What did you have?
I had a really...
Oh, you didn't need to know again. Anyway. There we go. So, Governor General can dissolve Parliament.
What does that mean? I don't know what that means.
Means they go, no more Parliament. All of you no longer have jobs. That's what they...
Seriously?
Yeah. And they all have to go home, and then they have to...
What?
And then they dissolve Parliament, saying there will be an election in this many weeks. So they no longer are members of Parliament. They're now candidates who have to fight and campaign to win their
fight
own
for their jobs,
fight to win their job back.
Has that happened?
Yeah, that happens every... No, it hasn't. Yes, an election's been called. It happens every time they call an election. They dissolve Parliament. Back home, no job for you. Prove us you need a job. Go and get people to vote for you.
I'm assuming the Prime Minister still is Prime Minister.
He is.
Okay,
but it's only in kind of like a while campaigning, so it's kind of like a caretaker capacity until the election happens.
Weird. Okay.
Yeah. So you can also have there's fixed elections, but it can be overrided if there's the Prime Minister loses a confidence vote in the House of Commons too. How many people vote?
I don't know.
60% of people cast a vote ballot typically.
60?
Yeah.
I thought it was less than that.
Between 1945 and 1988, about 75% of people used to vote who were eligible.
Yeah, people stopped giving a shit because the government doesn't
do much.
But, and it fell dramatically between 1962 and 2011 to like 61%.
You know how
it, and then it rose up to 68% in 2015.
I'm going to say something.
Yes.
And I realize that there's really no way for me to prove this. So this is, you could call this, a personally made conspiracy theory. I guess it's not really personally made. I kind of tailored it to, you know, from stuff that I've read. You read 1984, yes?
Yes.
Okay. If you recall in 1984, they were always going to war with a certain country. Two countries who band up together. There's like
Eurasia and...
Yeah, I forget the name. It was like, there were pretty much just three main factions in the world, and two of them would band together and war against the third.
Yeah, and then they make you
switch.
Forget.
They make you forget, and then they'd switch over. So not in the sense of war, but I kind of believe that government does this thing where like, okay, we know we have a certain amount of money, and that's all we've got to play with. That's it. And we have to somehow please everybody. We can't do that. The conservatives want this. The liberals want this. The Green Party wants this, etc. The people who voted for these parties want these things. So let's all just kind of like, I feel like almost like it's an inside fucking job where they're like, okay, you know what? We got to cut somewhere. We got to cut money from something to give money to another group. And so no matter what we do, someone is going to be pissed off at us. Someone is going to be pissed off at us, and someone's going to be really happy with how we have allocated these funds. And every year or two or five or whatever, we're going to shift the funds. Okay, hospitals get them this year. Education gets them this year. This industry gets them this year. This industry, etc. And maybe it's not just one. Maybe it's like a huge bucket of whatever. But like, I feel like everyone in the government is kind of in the know. Like, no, this year we're going to piss off this group, but don't worry, they're going to be happy next year. And it's just like this, everyone kind of fucking knows. And they play it off like a fucking wrestling event. Okay, where it's like, you got to vote for us because this is going to happen. They know goddamn well it's going to happen, but they just want to feel important. You know, I feel like it's this big rigged fucking game to keep the system afloat because there's not enough money and not enough people to keep happy. And they're doing a juggle via wrestling match. I genuinely believe this is what's happening.
That was a good rant.
Because like, this has been going on for so long. Can they not see the patterns that have been happening here?
You're kind of expressing the opinion of most people who don't vote because they're just disenfranchised.
No,
that's not a criticism. I'm just saying, like, the reason a lot of people don't vote is because they don't feel like it's going to make any difference. They don't feel like the system will change. And that's kind of where you're coming from, is you're saying, it doesn't matter what I do.
It's going to happen. Honest to God, after living through the debacle... Is that how you say that? Debacle? That was the decimation of the Nova Scotia film industry, which I know I've talked about before. But like,
you never brought it up before. What are you talking about? Please explain.
Just witnessing every single thing that was done to prevent it, such as we hired H&R Block to do a year-long study proving with numbers, okay, math, saying like, yes, this is profitable for the entire province. And we showed it to them and we proved it to them with facts and figures from a reputable source. They didn't care. We wrote so many papers. We wrote so many essays. We went live and we did everything humanly possible with logic. And we actually had meetings where we're like, look, we got to keep our emotions low. This isn't about emotion. This is about facts and figures and math and showing it to them. And we did that as we brought our emotions down. We showed them so much math, so many numbers, so many figures. Didn't fucking matter. They just, I spoke to them. I literally spoke to them before, like as they were passing this bill, and they didn't give a shit. They didn't care at all. They just sat there, listened to all of us, and then did what they were going to do anyway. And no, to this day, no one knows why. Nobody fucking knows why.
I think what happened was they made the suggestion and they didn't want to back down.
Oh, there's
what happens is people will make a suggestion, mm-hmm. and then they'll go, we got this amazing, and everyone tells them they're wrong. And rather than go, oh, actually, do you know what? Maybe we didn't think this through. You're right. We won't do that. They go, no, this is the plan. Right.
They wanted to just
it's kind of
they didn't want to say, they're trying to save face by just digging their heel in the dirt. That's one of the options that we came up with.
You could give them as much evidence as you want and as many facts or figures as you want, but ultimately when it comes down to
I actually wrote, like, this is one of the things that I, a speech that I wrote and I gave in, I forget where it was, but it was like, I came up with, there was four different answers as to what the fuck was happening. One was that they know more about the the finances and the math of the film industry's effect on our economy. And we, the film industry, are too stupid to understand what they're trying to tell us. Doubtful. Two, that we know more about it than they do, and they just can't grasp what we've been telling them for like a year and a half. Three, they have a hidden fucking agenda that they're just not telling us. Or four, that they realize they've made a mistake, as you've said, and they're trying to save face by digging their heels in the dirt and saying, no, we know better than you do because we're the politicians. Just trust us. And I think it was that one. Honestly, yeah. I think you're right.
The simplest explanation is usually.
Yeah. But like, again, like why, like a year and a half and so much work. And it made the smallest, tiniest of dents, basically to shut us up and get the fuck out of their faces, you know? And yeah. So like, yes, I'm a disengaged voter. Yeah, of course. Cause like, I feel like it doesn't fucking matter. They're going to do whatever the fuck they want anyway. Yeah. Even if I vote someone in who makes 1,000 promises, there's no guarantee they're going to do any of those promises once they get in. There's no system in place that punishes them for not attempting their promises that got they don't get voted next time, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, that's, but like while they're in, they can do whatever the fuck they want.
The
like,
one thing you have.
Yeah, yeah. So,
so
like,
if you put all that energy into organizing people in the community to vote or not vote for people, that's how you do it.
I guess that's the one thing you have. Yeah, but it doesn't seem to be working, does it?
Well, only because the system only works like if voting levels are low, if voting levels are like 60%,
yeah,
then yeah, it doesn't work because essentially you think if a party wins with 35%,
but hold on, you're saying that like before when it was 75-80% that it was working better, it went down because it wasn't working.
No, it went down because
because people thought like, why the fuck are we doing this?
People were disengaged, you know, but yeah. Also don't forget the generation who were voting and coming out to vote all the time had just fought in a big war and lots of people had died and had this experience and had just defeated dictatorships. And then also there was the rise of the USSR and kind of communism and on the kind of authoritarian governments there. So for a lot of people, it was like, democracy, where this is like a guiding light in the world. We've seen terrible things, but this is good. This is gonna, you know. So, whereas me and you haven't had that same experience, like, thankfully. As far as we're like, whatever. Oh no, my Nintendo Switch battery's died. You know, those are our problems. So, of course, people aren't engaged because their life experience is very different. And
take someone who has had a horrifying experience with fire. And they could try to put out the fire with mayonnaise and find out through that horrifying experience that mayonnaise does not work very well at all as a fire suppressant. And then you could take me, who did not have a horrifying experience with fire, and I could still discover that mayonnaise is an awful fire suppressant. I don't need an awful experience to tell me that government doesn't fucking work very well.
No. I guess it's not that it doesn't. I'm not saying that, like, the more if people vote, if 100% of the eligible voters vote,
it's like it's something to do for old people.
No, but the problem is that the less,
not voting, I mean government.
Yeah, yeah. But the thing is that if
they have nothing else in their life other than like a boys' club to pat each other on the back, let's see how many votes we can get.
But that's the thing though. If you could bring out, you look at like some of the major parties, like they win with like 36% of the vote and they form a government. Well, that's 36% of only 60% of people who are eligible to vote.
Right.
Of everyone who isn't eligible to vote.
Yeah.
You think that's a tiny percentage of the population who get to decide everything for everybody else.
Yeah.
So if you got, if it's at 60% and 36% voted for the government, more people didn't vote than voted for the government. So if those people got involved, they could instantly wipe out all of the political parties that are there and form a government with completely new people. So you can have change. If people really want it and really want to engage with the system, you can work that system where you can completely blow everything out of the water. But when people, the problem is that you say,
you're talking about starting a revolution and starting our own government.
There's a great Malcolm in the Middle episode where a teacher creates this system of like within the classroom where they play each other's egos off against each other. And Malcolm manages to basically completely wreck the whole thing by using the system to overload the system. And that's
Guthrie says you can't beat the system, but you can break it. So essentially, you know, you can, if people are really that disenfranchised, they could all turn out one day and vote for some completely new party and do it. It's just that
people aren't that old. With who they're voting for, it's disengaged with the system itself.
But the system
is... If every single insurance company you have ever dealt with has fucked you over, will you continue to buy insurance if you don't have to? You just got to try that other insurance company. Really? 1,000 insurance companies for the past 200 years have fucked you over. You're going to convince me to buy... You just got to try this new insurance company. Like, you just got to get more involved with the insurance companies.
That's what I'm talking about. If you approach it from the point of view where... If you're able to find real candidates who you want to vote
for. The system is broken.
Hey, Jesse, do you know what time it is?
What time is it, Reese?
Ad time.
Yay.
No, that's back after these important things.
Ads.
Hello, I'm Chris Locke.
I'm James Hartnett.
And I'm Michael Belazzo.
And we're the hosts of comedy podcast Evil Men.
It's a podcast where comedians, us, joke around about different bad guys, rude dudes, and sometimes murderers.
Yeah, we might talk about a horrible person like Jeffrey Dahmer.
A depraved maniac from ancient Rome like Caligula.
Or even sometimes a mean cartoon character like Gargamel. Because the things he did to the Smurfs were just awful.
Yeah, we talk about all these things, but most of the time we're joking, you understand?
We're comedians. We're foolish by nature.
Catch us on the Sonar Network and download us wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Everardo Ramirez. I'm a comedian.
I know.
And I want to tell you about my new podcast.
I know.
It's called Public Access Podcast. It's a limited comedy anthology series out now on the Sonar Network. Each episode is a completely new show from a fictional public access channel. It's a limited series with only 10 episodes, so you don't have to worry about this thing downloading on your phone every week for the rest of your life. Plus, it has some of my funniest friends on it, like Mark Little, Nick Nemiroff, Meg McKay, Mikey Kohlberg, and some others. Subscribe now wherever you get your podcasts, okay? You know how to find it. I don't even have to tell you. If you're listening to this right now, then you know how to find a podcast. Just look for Public Access Podcast.
The system is broken so much so that the answer is not we need more involvement with this broken system. We need a different system. I don't know what the new system is. I'm not an economist. I don't know what kind of, like, I don't know. All I see is this broken jalopy with smoke pouring out of its engine rolling down the road. I don't know how to make a better car or a new car. All I know is I can point with confidence at that car and say, that is broken. And people will say, fine, make a better car. I'm like, I don't know how to make a fucking better car, but I do know a system, a broken system when I see it. And this is a broken system.
But the thing is that you look at politicians, they are the same cross-section of everybody else in society.
The question to be answering at the end of the series is not who is Jesse going to vote for.
But should he vote?
Should he
vote? I was going to say, if you're being inspired to vote by this. But no, my point I was going to make is that politicians are the same cross section of society as everybody else. Some of them expose themselves on camera. Some of them,
you know who you are. Yeah,
some of them are awful people making cynical decisions to line their own pockets. Some are genuinely ideologically driven people who want to make the world better.
I don't think so.
There's going to be some people who are.
I'm fine.
You yes, can't say that. You know, there are some people who are really driven by purpose.
I'll agree with that.
Yeah. And there are some people who are incredibly smart. There are some people who are coasting based on privilege and are in that position.
Like, I really like Jagmeet Singh. However, like, because he's got some really nice policies he talks about and he seems to genuinely care. But then he goes on these rants of attacks on Justin Trudeau and other politicians. And I'm just like, I can't get behind that. Like, it's childish. It's fucking childish.
Also, I kind of think that it's not the politics and the politicians solely that have trashed people's opinion of the system. The system we live in, you look at the cost of living and wages, you know, it's not an easy time compared to our parents.
Oh, please.
You know, but no, but that's something that plays in.
Name one year in the past 100 years that was an easy time.
No, but what I'm talking about is that the disparity between the cost of living and wages was very different in the 70s and the 80s.
Oh, in the 50s and 60s too.
Yeah, exactly. Like, so now we're,
you know, if you were a 21-year-old, you could leave your mom and dad, you could go and get a job and then buy yourself a house.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, exactly.
That was a thing you could do.
But you look, we're like people our age and younger are the first generation who are worse off than their parents, who are retired.
I don't know if we're the first generation, but we're the generation in a long time.
So, like, generally speaking, the system is, and I think a lot of the apathy right now, especially with, and always is with younger people, they're either disengaged because the system isn't working, so they don't want to engage with it.
Well, the only people that are being benefited from voting in politicians are the politicians.
And young people
aren't like, it's not like every time a young person votes, they suddenly get a windfall.
Do you know what would fix it? The system in Denmark, it's illegal to donate money to political parties.
Oh my God, that would be perfect.
So what happens is,
will find a way.
People will
secretly, like, hey man, you want to go for coffee? Let me leave a $200,000 tip on the table next to you.
This person's a new finance minister because they bought me a latte.
Right.
But what I'm saying is in Denmark, what happens is they go, great, you're a large political party. You're allowed to run a campaign. Here is your set budget that is given to you by the government.
Right.
Here is your 6 slots on primetime TV. Here are your 15 radio slots. Here's this. And they go, this is your campaign. And here's the money. So they then have to campaign like that. You can go out and knock doors as much as you want.
You can't accept
money from business or interest
groups. There's no fucking way that's not happening. There is no fucking way that's not happening.
But if that if you did that and you had that system, then it would mean that when a politician, to get elected, if you need to buy the loyalty of all these groups who help fund your campaign and kind of get you there to the position where you can actually get almost voted in and then get voted in, and you're in the debt of lots of interests. If you could do it without that, then you've got a much cleaner slate to make decisions based on what can you do. Honestly, I think that any politician who becomes prime minister genuinely wants to leave a legacy where they're loved and adored, and people want to build statues of them.
That's the problem, man.
No, but they want that, and I think the problem is that they're human, and all the other interest groups that got them there in the first place warp their perception of what they can do.
Oh, of course,
party politics warps it.
I had an idea that. I'm actually curious as to why it hasn't happened. Okay, so you know boy bands in the 90s?
Yes.
Okay, in the early 2000s, boy bands were a thing, and they continue to be a thing in Japan and Korea, and I don't know why, but they are. Okay, but they are curated. It's not like all these guys are friends from high school, and they're all just perfectly fucking chiseled, gorgeous men.
They're cast like in a movie, yeah.
They're cast in a movie, okay, to see how well they get along with one another, to see how well they look with one another in a group. Can they sing, etc., etc., etc.? And then they want to make sure they can all sing certain pitches, and they want to make sure that they're attractive to a certain demographic. This is not just cast. This is I don't want to say manipulation. This is a formula. These people in the music industry, it's brilliant. They know what they're doing step by fucking step.
Oh, even the pace of the songs and the lyrics, everything.
Everything.
Yeah.
Everything is curated and formulated to the point where they know it's going to work before they even do it. Okay? And they do it. Now, why hasn't that happened in government? And maybe it has.
No, they do. I think they do it all the time.
But I'm talking like this. You're right. Ego gets in the way. Ego definitely gets in the way when people are elected because, like, oh, I have to make everyone love me so that I can get reelected. Fuck that. What if a party, you know, formulated a politician to be elected? Okay, like there are things
they do that.
Let me go on a little mini rant here.
Okay? Well, on top just, of the just, other five, yeah, mega
yeah, yeah.
rants.
Just a mega rant. This is a mini rant. Mega rant. Yeah, mega rants, yeah. So what if they're like, we're going to take this guy and his name is Bill Schneider. I don't know. I'm just going to.
Old Willie Schneider.
Old Willie Schneider, right? And we're going to create a public image of him. Okay, that will get him elected because we know right now that these people are voting more than these people are voting, and these people vote this, et cetera, et cetera. So we're just going to put everything towards this. And we know how to get him elected. We know how to manipulate the system. We know how to manipulate, you know, all the media. And by manipulate, I mean, well, fucking manipulate. Yeah, it's propaganda, right? It's not, you know, It's not rocket surgery, you know. Now you're not going to call me on that?
I'm just staring at you blankly. Rocket surgery. It's not brain science.
So they get him in and they get him elected. Willie Schneider. Old Willie Schneider, right? And no matter what fucking promises he made, it doesn't matter. For the next 4 years, okay, he just pisses everyone off by doing what needs to be done. Instead of just trying to make everyone like him, he's like, we're going to cut carbon tax. We'll put a carbon tax, not cut it. We're going to put a huge carbon tax out there for all businesses. Fuck you. I'm not voting for you. Go ahead. I don't give a shit. Whatever, it's done. You know, we're going to do this for the environment. We're going to do this for the economy. We're going to do everything that needs to happen. Now, of course, there's all, you know, the money allocation, as we talked about before, that I'm fairly certain is a thing. But like, the world is currently on fire and we need to do something about the environment. Wouldn't it be great to get a patsy in and just get him voted in, right? And then have him be the villain. To do everything that needs to be fucking done, like a strict parent ripping the candy away from the child who's screaming this entire time, I hate you, daddy, I hate you. You know, it needs to happen.
So what you're saying is we need some kind of aggressive dictator to tell us what we need. What we need is a
oh, my God, I was actually going in that direction. Yeah, well, that's where I was. Oh, yeah, my God, wow.
This is why people need to vote.
This is why, because if you don't, then you'll just start thinking like,
you know, with old Willie Schneider and his regime. The regime of Willie Schneider will take over. All hail Willie Schneider, the glorious leader. So if you want to join Jesse's dictatorship.
I'm not going to take it back. I stand by my words.
I think there's a bit of a thing where if people vote for someone who's going to do the things they would like them to do. I think a lot of it is the short termism as well, though. They'll go, what do I need to say to win this election? What easy wins can I get within my first 6 months to let people know I'm doing a good job? There's the short term. But when we did the episode about the Iroquois, the Confederacy, and every decision they made, they had to think about the seventh generation and how it would affect them.
That was amazing.
It's a very different way of thinking about it. And I think that if people did think in terms of the seventh generation with that mindset, then we would instantly have governments that were solving the issues around global warming.
Of course.
Because they'd be given
it. The politicians today, as you stated, are more afraid of not being reelected than they are of having a world for their children to be able to breathe in.
Yeah, and I think that part of it as well is that,
it's sad how true that is. It's not even really just like that. There's truth in that, and that's so fucking sad.
But again, though, I think that nothing like we've talked about. It's the political system is a system, and the problem with systems is that people get lost in those systems and they lose track of who they are.
No, yeah,
You're automatically. So even like if you're the leader of that system, you're still part of that system.
So you still get dragged into it because we've been ranting for like a while now. Did you have a topic?
I did, but it's fine. we'll talk about it again. That's why I'm just. But honestly, I think we've had a few comments from listeners who say they like listening to your perspective because you represent that 40% of people who don't vote.
Yeah,
your opinion is people who are like, fuck this system. I don't care.
I'm against government. I'm against a broken government.
Yeah, and I think
Denmark. Maybe I'd like to learn more about how the Denmark.
Maybe you should move to Denmark.
The Danes.
Maybe we should talk about the Danish system. My point is that this is why we have one or two listeners in Denmark. This is why I want you.
Hello, by the way.
Hello, Danes.
Hello, you beautiful Danes.
This is why. That's a good T-shirt. This is why you need.
We've got two people who will buy them.
And this is why we need to do this process to the election, because your reaction to stuff. If we go, oh, look, they said this. These are the policies, and you can just.
And I can express how much I don't give a shit.
You can just laugh about them. It's great. And everyone will laugh and have fun. So the election's been called. This is how Jesse feels about it. I personally feel like the system is far from perfect. But far from perfect. The more nice, civil, and grown-up people you can vote in to represent that system, you can change it over time, I believe, for the better. And it's all based on the quality of candidates and who's running for you. So don't vote thinking about which party will win. Vote thinking about the person you're actually voting for in your region. In the riding you're in. Because the more, regardless of everything else that's going on, think about how they're going to conduct themselves. Think about, because they all represent.
They're going to conduct themselves the exact same way every fucking politician before
them has conducted themselves. Not, yeah, but not necessarily. There are.
Do you know what? And this is true. Well, it's not true. It's conjecture that a lot of people have talked about. This isn't my theory. That one of the reasons Trump was so popular was because he was different, dramatically different from.
That's a nice way of describing him as different.
Yes, okay, that's true. He was insane, but still, like, beyond the norm of what you'd expect from a politician, and from disengaged voters. That's why you get these like people like, why the fuck are you voting for Trump? Those are the disengaged voters.
Yeah, because there was nobody like Trump. That's the thing.
He was evil, but he was different.
Yeah. Like, and it was people who came out the woodwork because they were like, I'm not voting for them because they're not racist. And they were like, finally, a racist to vote for. And when my favorite story about Trump.
Finally, a racist to vote for.
And that's what happened.
Thank God.
Yeah. But what happened was, my favorite story was when the January the 6th insurrection happened in the White House, he was watching it live on TV. And he complained about how the fact that the people represented him and taking over the Congress for him was so unclassy.
I mean, that's his people.
But that's the people, exactly. Right. So he hates those people, but he fires them up in a way that no one can comprehend.
If anything, we could learn from the Trump administration, and I do think there is a very big lesson to learn here, is that like politicians are so fucking scared that they're going to misstep or say the wrong thing as if that's going to make a fucking difference. It's not. In fact, the more human you are, the more you just speak your goddamn mind.
Get a podcast. Just be honest. Talk about into the microphone. Every
Honestly,
day.
That's not a bad idea.
Just do a diary.
I'm never joking, but if a politician who was like running for office got his own fucking podcast and just talked like a human goddamn being, they would have so much clout. It would be insane.
Well, it's
because
they all
come across as fucking robots.
Don't look so curated. Just right? Be a normal person.
And then fucking, what's his name? The banana bread dude?
Aaron O'Toole.
He loves banana bread. That's the one thing that he's discovered that might kind of makes him look human, right? So, like, he's trying. I don't know if he's there yet, but he's trying.
I guess he was trying.
He's trying.
But, you know. Yeah. Banana Again, bread. Shaking hands with
banana
Joe,
bread?
Joe Biden with his right. foot in a bucket.
The foot in
a
bucket, yeah.
And every time he does a step, it goes further. So anyway, I've got to go.
Right. Yeah,
But this has been, the
election's been called. Yay!
So we're going to talk about the election. So this is our election launch special.
For fuck's sake. Oh, God. Okay.
Election.
Yay!
So more election stuff on the way.
Oh, and thank you so much for those of you who put up comments, our reviews, put up reviews in Apple Podcasts. Those very cool of you. And if you want to help us out, that is one way that you can definitely do that, is by going and leaving a comment, a review on Apple Podcasts. It takes 20 seconds out of your day and genuinely helps us. If you're like, oh my God, I wish more people knew about this.
Maybe spend another 5 seconds spell checking. That's my advice.
Sure. Okay. Yeah.
To 25
seconds. That's our call to action for today.
Spell check your reviews.
Spell check reviews and then send them to us. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Bye.
Bye, everyone. Love you.
Things are about to kick off. Aaron O'Toole.
To the journalists in the room.
Justin Trudeau.
This pandemic.
After months of speculation.
Federal election.
Now is not the time for an election.
Buckle up and get ready to ride the pandemic election roller coaster.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news ad free. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, dear listener, do you enjoy listening to us ramble incoherently about Canadian politics and history? Boy, do we have a special fucking treat for you. We've got our first ever official live show at a bar.
It's at Two Crows Brewing on Brunswick Street in Halifax on Sunday, May the 26th at 8 p.m. And if you go to CanadianPoliticsIsBoring.com, if you look at the banner at the top, it will take you to the tickets so that you can book a ticket and come and spend some quality time. It is going to be a very intimate affair. There are like only about 50 tickets available.
It's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to drink a lot. We're going to quiz. Reese is going to quiz me at the end, but he's also going to quiz the audience and see if they know more than I do. And any alcohol you buy, Reese and I, we promise to drink it, no matter how much it is. If you want to hold our hair while we barf in the plants outside of the bar, we'll do that for you.
So go to CanadianPoliticsIsBoring.com, click the banner at the top, and on Sunday, May the 26th, at Two Crows Brewing on Brunswick Street, we will see you there.